Welcome to October, and welcome to the Dan and Dalton College Football Show.
That music could mean only one thing, Dalton.
Yeah, only one thing.
That's the theme music to this football show and podcast.
Program.
And radio show. And
keep going.
That's it. Hey, man. So, anyway, what a week. We're coming off the Alabama at Georgia game.
Yeah.
Certainly I'm a Georgia guy, but what a game. What a game and that Bryce Simpson had.
Back-to-back weeks for you as a Georgia fan.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do this coming week. I don't know how many more ways you could say what an incredible game involving the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, this may be the first game, the Georgia game that I sit down and watch and then sleep through. But Kentucky always gives them fits, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was a really, we knew it going in, good week of games with some good top 25 action, including, that Georgia-Bama game. You had the LSU-Ole Miss game. You had Oregon and Penn State with the whiteout up there at State College. So we were setting up for some good games. But, we've seen that year after year. You get a good schedule, and then sometimes the weekend's games are just, you get blowouts or just bad games. This really followed through this past weekend.
You know what's interesting about the highlighted games at the end of the night there, which was, the biggest games, Georgia hosting Alabama, Penn State hosting Oregon, both of the home teams who were favored were getting kicked around, both down 14, had to come back, and Georgia doesn't quite pull it off, but Oregon does in overtime.
Yeah, I was actually, and it's kind of weird to say, I was shocked at how well Alabama played. I don't know if I've said that in like 20 years, but I was. They laid such an egg that week one. And then, they were turning things around. Wisconsin, of course, easier games. I really thought, and I heard people saying they had a chance, but I thought that they may win if Georgia just completely crapped the bed, and I don't think that was necessarily the case.
I don't think it was. I like Georgia. I like the team, and I like the, they're youthful. They're not perfect. They ran the ball very well. I'm surprised and happy to see that, but look, Alabama was on point, and their execution, their game plan. People talk about a game plan. If you don't execute, what does it mean? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They executed, and it was a great game.
Yeah, and even the games we didn't know if they would be good or not, when you look at the lines in our FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Pool presented by Spring Hill Ace Hardware, remember that awesome prize up for grabs at the end of the year for the one person out of the 500-plus that are competing. Whoever wins at the end of the year will get that big prize. There were some, and that's why I love and hate picking against the line, because there were games settled by half a point off the line, maybe a point.
Line killed us every time, right? Yeah. Or you either won because of the line or lost because of that hook at the top, right? 3.5, 6.5, whatever.
And they include the hook on everything in this run your pool just to make it easier so we don't have many pushes. But there was good weeks. I went 5-5 after stringing together a couple winning weeks, 8-2, and then 7-3, then 5-5. There were three people this past week who went 8-2.
Nice.
Bears Gone Fishing, a local Bama man, and Wasted Time. And it's been really interchangeable week to week who's having a great week, which has led to some really tight numbers at the top of the overall leaderboard. But right now there are three people tied for first place: Ante Up, Big Marty, and Roll Tider 21. Now, if they were actually playing these in Vegas or closer, Biloxi, or even closer on an offshore sports book from their own home, which is not allowed, they would they'd be making some good
money.
34-16 for each of those three that are in the lead. Jimbo's Vols are in second alone or fourth alone, 33-17. A couple people that are 32-18, and then a whole host of people that are 31-19. I am after that 5-5 week. I have 21 losses, so I'm five games back from the top, which I think is a spread that I can get back to.
Not bad. I went 4-6 last week after I looked at the books a little over again. So I thought it was 3-7. That would have been another 3-7 week, which is too many. 4-6, and I'm way back in the pack, but I'm not concerned. I'm having a good time.
To kind of lay out this show for you tonight, and remember, if you're listening live, that's great. Maybe you cut out from a high school game early, or maybe your game ended early and you're able to listen. We put this podcast out Friday mornings right after Mobile Mornings ends, which we host 6 yes. to 9 every morning. Uh-huh. And coming up, we'll have our conversation with Drew Fabianich, the executive director with the Panini Senior Bowl. Some good insight from him. And then Paul Feinbaum, a radio host, he will be joining us, our segment with him, coming up in the third of this show tonight, today. And then our picks for this week coming up at the end of the show. But as far as those games from this past weekend, Notre Dame blowing out Arkansas 56-13, easily covering the 5.5. That was in Arkansas, I think.
Sam Pittman got fired because of the way their defense played.
Gone. You hear that motorcycle revving in the background. That's Bobby Petrino. Mm-hmm. He's right back in the mix.
Yeah, he loves to ride the hills out there in Arkansas.
And now, I don't want to say that anything untoward may have been part of this whole plan, having Petrino there. Do you think that might have been in his mind, that he could potentially one day again be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks?
I would say it only took up about 95% of his brain.
He may have been sabotaging from the inside. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say that. But blowout, obviously a job lost there in Pittman. That one was not close. South Alabama, they came in to the year considered by some to be in the mix for the Sun Belt crown, and they still could be, but just a tough stretch of games, close loss to Tulane, played all right against Auburn, about as good as you would you'd want them to play much better, but they'd be fine. But then going to North Texas after that game against Auburn, and they lose 36-22. The spread was 12.5 points. Now, South had actually gotten it back to within 6 points. They were only down 6. North Texas scored late, decided to go for 2.
Yeah.
And I'm watching. They miss. If they miss it, I win the bet.
Yep.
If they get it, I lose the bet. Yeah. And sure enough, they got it and end up covering there. That USC at Illinois game, do you think in the long run we'll say USC, that might have been a terrible move? Moving into the Big Ten, all of these road games where you're traveling across the country.
I don't know that you had a choice to say no thank you. I mean, the Pac-10 just dissolved on like nothing, kind of just went away. I don't know that they had the choice really, but yeah, this has got to be a problem for them, and it's going to be a problem for all the teams traveling even out there too.
Yeah, except for UCLA. They look great. But USC lost outright as a 6.5-point favorite, 34-32, to Illinois, who had just gotten blown out by Indiana
the
previous week. Vanderbilt took care of business but didn't cover. 55-35 win over Utah State. I'd picked Utah State to stay within the number. I think you might have, too.
I did.
And I think Pavia was out by some point in the fourth quarter. Then the teams ended up just trading touchdowns. So that was a fun one with the line, too. Vanderbilt would cover, and then Utah State would bring it back. So Utah State got within that number late. What do you make of Texas A&M's 6-point win over Auburn? They were 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, here's what I make of it. I got screwed. End of discussion. Ole Miss, 1.5 over LSU. And, they were giving away 1.5, and they covered.
Yeah, Trinidad. And he will start moving forward, it looks like. Yep. Trinidad Shambliss. Tennessee and Mississippi State. Now, the Vols were 7.5-point road favorites and ended up winning by 7. It took overtime. So when you get those overtime games, the line, it's just a complete crapshoot if it's close to within 8. And Tennessee won, but Mississippi State, and we'll talk about them in our prediction page, they're getting better, I'll say that. We talked to Alabama-Georgia a little bit, and Alabama covering as underdogs, outright win for them. Oregon was underdog to Penn State, 3.5-point favorites. They win by 6, and Dan Lanning looking like a madman after that win. And South Carolina easily covering over Kentucky. They were 6.5-point favorites. They win 35-13 to cap the night.
You would think that would have some effect on my pick this week, Kentucky going to Georgia. Does it? We'll talk about that coming up.
Yeah. So those predictions are on the way. It was a really fun week of picks this last Saturday. Not as many premier games this weekend, but when you're playing with the line, it's still difficult week in and week out. So we'll get some insight from Drew Fabianich here on the way. He's always great to talk to, and also that Paul Feinbaum segment too. and then our picks, and you'll want to listen closely. This is how you can start thinking about maybe making some money if you listen to me and Dan.
You can just become just a professional gambler. You don't even, you can tell your boss to stick it, and depending on your picks,
yeah,
making the income that you want.
You don't have to win to be a professional gambler. No. You can just say you are and lose all the time. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Drew Fabianic on the way.
Drew Fabianic is the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. Well, as the police like to say, when they're moving people along, nothing to see here. But over the weekend for college football, Drew, there was plenty to see. That was exhilarating.
I'll tell you what, there were some really good games that I don't even know if people actually watched. I mean, first one that came to mind was, you know, the Cincinnati, you know, Kansas game. And I've never seen such a performance by two quarterbacks, you know, in a game. I mean, the kid from Kansas, I mean, Daniels, he had 500 yards total. Wow. Offense by himself.
Wow.
And the kid from Cincinnati had close to 450. So I was like, this is amazing to watch.
That's an old
back and forth the whole way.
An old Big 12 shootout right there, right?
Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah, defense was optional. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, all those games kind of take on, and neither of those teams ranked, but when you have the 12-team playoff like we do and some conferences that appear to be wide open right now, who knows what teams we might be watching in January as they get ready to suit up an SEC or a Big Ten team in the playoff. Now, speaking of, you know, these games this weekend, four top 10 teams fall. Now, three of those games, I believe, were in top 25 ranked games.
Right.
But you had Florida State started off Friday night with an unlikely loss, but still they fell on Friday night when everyone was looking at the Noles as this huge surprise team this year.
Yeah, and I mean, and the Cavaliers were, 10-point underdogs or something like that? I mean, and then, you know, little Chandler Morris, I mean, gosh, he had five touchdowns himself. I mean, I think it was like, three rushing and two throwing. You know, it was great to watch. I mean, and again, not a lot of defense played in that one either, you know. But then you go watch Penn State and Oregon, you watch Alabama, Georgia. Now there's some defense being played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of skill on the field, period.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, people need to recognize that Oregon's pretty good on defense too now. I mean, because they snuffed Penn State out almost until that fourth quarter, about 4 minutes left in it.
Yeah, and Dan Lanning, he's the man. I mean, you watch him, and he gets his team so fired up. He almost gets me fired up, and I'm not an Oregon fan, but just watching Lanning, and, you know, he feels that defense is so important, obviously. That was a really good game. What did you make out of that Bama win in Athens in front of that rowdy Georgia crowd at night? And Ty Simpson just looked in control. He, at least, you know, they started the game really moving the ball well.
He was unbelievable to start that game.
And for Bama to go into Athens, and Georgia fans are saying, here we go again, we just can't get past them.
No, and I'll tell you what, and I wouldn't have thought, you know, Alabama would have went in there and did what they did, I'll be honest with you. Just because in the SEC, it's hard to win on the road. It really is, and especially, you know, with the good of defenses that they played over the years. I mean, with Kirby, I mean, that was impressive. And like you said, Ty Simpson, I mean, you'll see, you know, in our posts, you know, he's one of our players of the week, stock up. So, I mean, he's played really well since that Florida State game, to be honest with you. I mean, I think he's got the highest efficiency of any quarterback in the country right now, if I recall right.
I was hearing all that, and I believed it. Once I saw the two things that – now, I went to Georgia, and my brother played at Georgia in basketball. So Georgia's my team for sure. But what I watched that was so impressive, that Simpson came out and was so good from the start, twice in a row, two drives in a row. And then at the end of the game, I mean, with less than 3 minutes to go, Alabama made every possible big play you can make to win a game. Every time it was like, well, they got to make this one. Defensively, offensively, they were clutch. They deserved to win that game.
Yeah, they did. And like I said, and I know for a fact, because I coached in the SEC, and it's hard to win anywhere on the road in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And it just is, especially down there. You know, it's just like, you know, would have been the same thing for them come down to Alabama. You know, it would have been tough for them.
Well, Dalton's a big Tennessee Vol guy. And what did I tell you earlier today, Dalton? So you went in overtime at Mississippi State.
At Mississippi State. And you pointed out rightfully, any SEC road win, you just take it and go home, Drew?
Get the heck out of town, yeah.
Absolutely. And you'll see one of our players a week is actually, a Vol. And he actually had the fumble recovery, touchdown return. And if he wouldn't have that, I mean, Josh Joseph.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have that, they would have lost that ball game. They wouldn't have pushed it to overtime.
Yeah, the cowbells were certainly ringing. Just quick, one more thing on Ty Simpson, because when I watch him play, and I've watched some, really good college quarterbacks go to the next level, and as a Tennessee Titans fan, I've seen them run into that NFL defense that really shuts them down. But when you watch a player like Ty Simpson climb the pocket and keep his eyes downfield while all of this chaos, being the Georgia defense, surrounds him, that's just such an impressive trait. And for Alabama to have a quarterback, they've had great quarterbacks over the years, but to have a guy like that who can stick in there and then get the ball to those playmakers, I think, after we were writing Alabama off, or some were after that week one, they are a real force for the rest of this year.
Well, I agree with you. And the thing that you got in Ty Simpson is that he's got command of that offense. And I think that's the biggest part of, what you see out there. He's changing. I mean, put it this way, he's IDing the mic. He's changing the protection. He knows where all his hots are. He runs that. I mean, he's not just a game manager. I mean, he's really, really accurate. And like you said, he's really calm because, again, when you're calm as a quarterback, it's because you understand what's around you. And that your surroundings, where your players are going to be. And that's where I think his positives are, because he's been there now for a while, and now he's been in that system now for 2 years, and that helps him. And being a coach's kid doesn't hurt either, because he's grown up with it. So I'm sure that his dad, Jason and I are close. We've kind of came up coaching together, and I'm sure he's been breaking down his tape since he was 12 years old, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, if it didn't pay off ahead of time, it paid off in Athens on Saturday night, much to my chagrin. But you've just got to take your hat off to a great performance like that. And it was just a great game. Who was some of the other teams or players that got your attention? I thought that was real interesting that you started talking about Cincinnati and Kansas with all these big matchups of top 20 teams, and the SEC dominates our minds in terms of football for a weekend. We probably missed a few. That's amazing, the performances that those guys had. Who else did we maybe miss?
I don't think you missed Chambly. I don't think anybody's missed Chambly down at Ole Miss. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I know he said that, when Austin's 100%, he'll be the starting quarterback, but it's going to be hard to sit that kid down if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Talk about their starting quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremiah Love is in that running back room at Notre Dame. I mean, wow. I mean, both of them, talk about both big-time runners. I mean, not just runners, but pass receivers, pass protectors. I mean, I was really impressed with both of the running backs, and Jeremiah Love specifically. Sawyer Robertson of Baylor's been quiet, throughout the country, but he's put up huge numbers, and he is really putting Baylor, in the Big 12, conversation.
Has he got size? How big is he?
He's about 6'3" and a half.
Okay.
I met him down at the Manning Academy. He's good size. I mean, he's not quite as big as Josh Allen, but he's that
sturdy
body type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Elijah Surratt at Indiana. Mm-hmm. I mean, averaging about 6-7 catches a game. He's really blowing up. Jordan Tyson. Everybody knows about Jordan Tyson at Arizona State. I mean, he had like 8 catches, against TCU and like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, he's for real. Defensively, there's been some guys that have been really, really productive. The Betcher kid, the linebacker at Oregon. If he wouldn't have played the way he played, I think Penn State would have, probably won that ball game. He had like 12 tackles. I mean, like 2 assists. I mean, he was all over the field. He was impressive. And then there's a Caden Curry at Ohio State. He had like 5. He had 5 sacks. I mean, 3 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, like 10 tackles. Not a super fantastic, silky athlete, but hard playing, strong. I mean, hard hat kind of guy. I mean, there's been, and then I already mentioned Josh Joseph at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he's one of our players of the week. because he had, like, I think it was 9 tackles, a sack and a half, plus that fumble recovery for a touchdown.
He was so, all over the place that win at Mississippi State. We're talking with Drew Fabianich, executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. And remember, Senior Bowl coming up at the end of January, and tickets on sale now. And you mentioned that Oregon linebacker, that final play. There were so many athletic plays made in that game, but that I think it was a linebacker, that Dylan Tiedemann, at the end, what an athletic interception to end that game. I mean, he had some hops, and he got up there and brought it down.
He's actually safety. He actually safety. Transferred from Purdue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that explains why he was able to get so high up there then. I was just looking at him thinking, man, that linebacker can really jump, but what a play from him. And then you were talking about some of the maybe under-discussed players. He's certainly not under-discussed because he put Vanderbilt on the map. And I was wondering if Vandy, with Utah State coming to town, I was not that they would lose, but maybe play a little flat because the Commodores are coming to Tuscaloosa this weekend. But when you have a quarterback like Pavia, he won't let that team be flat. They might lose, but they won't be flat. He had 321 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and also led in rushing, 79 yards and a touchdown. It'll be really interesting to see what Pavia can cook up in Tuscaloosa on Saturday.
Yeah, it will be. And I'm going to tell you what, he's changed the whole entire culture of Vanderbilt. He really has. And, you know, I mean, Clark did a fantastic job. I mean, we went up there in August, and they look like an SEC ball club now. And in the past, you know, when I was coaching against them, they looked like a MAC team. Mm. They didn't look like an SEC team. They look the part now, too. He's done a great job recruiting, and the biggest thing that kid brings is attitude.
Yeah.
And like you said, he carries it, he walks it, he talks it, and, you know, and again, he's a bulldog. Mm-hmm. He really is.
He's amazing. He is amazing.
Yeah.
Bama coming off the big win, Vandy's still undefeated. There's a lot of reasons that the intensity is going to be very high in Tuscaloosa this weekend. And Pavia just kind of gives that attitude like, man, I'll play you anywhere, anytime. When your team is led by a quarterback like that, and your team is, you're proving it. They're unbeaten so far. That could be a really good game.
It could be, yeah. And the thing is they believe they can win because they won last year.
Hmm. It'll be
also,
yeah.
It should be a pretty good game. It really should.
Hey, I'm watching the end of this. Dalton said, "Have you seen the end of the Virginia
Florida State
game?" And I was doing high school football at the time. Never saw the replay. Squirrel White, the receiver for Florida State. Maybe it's not funny. I guess
former Tennessee receiver.
I guess he didn't get hurt. That he was down in the end zone when the student section unleashed and came out of the stands, and you never see his body again.
They look like they trampled him.
I don't think they did, but anyway, if you see that highlight, it's insane.
Yeah, what's that fine now? $500,000 or something like that for rushing the field? Yeah. Get ready, Virginia. Open up the pocketbooks there. Drew?
But it's well worth it for them, I promise you. It's well worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Mentioned that tickets are on sale now. SeniorBowl.com is where folks can pick those up. I guess you guys rolling right along. We're coming up on the halfway mark here in a couple weeks of the regular season for college ball. And like you said, you guys are doing the Players of the Week, week in and week out, and keeping tabs on these guys. We're going to have an exciting second half of the season coming.
Yeah, and make sure you follow us on X, too, and follow me also, because – you know, I put some content, on mine separately, just the Senior Bowl piece. But, the Players of the Week will be on both.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Yeah, we always appreciate your insight, Drew. And we'll keep pointing people towards SeniorBowl.com. Go ahead and get those tickets. The game will be here before you know it.
It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits. Located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Paul Feinbaum. Where have I heard that name? Anyway, good morning, Paul Feinbaum. How are you?
Oh, gosh. it's been such an uneventful couple of days since I spoke to you last.
We wondered about that. So anyway, we're going to try to keep it at football right now, just so you can relax and talk about kind of more of a pastime, okay?
Well, let's talk about something I actually know something about, college football.
Yeah, we know how much you want to turn to political talk right now, but we've got a lot of
important football games to talk about. And kind of as we do every week, Paul, we enjoy your insight so much. But we had some great games this past weekend.
Didn't we, though?
And even some games we didn't think would be great ended up going down to the wire and then some. But I know, Dan, you were every single play locked into that Bama-Georgia matchup.
Paul, I'll tell you what, I can't even be mad. I mean, that was such a great performance by Alabama. Of course, I went to the University of Georgia, but just a great game. And for Ty Simpson to go into that place, and that was a madhouse, and play so well, and the execution by the Alabama team, I mean, you got to give it up. I thought Georgia played pretty well overall, but Bama was – they were the better team.
They were the better team. And I think that's from the very beginning of the game. I kept saying to someone watching it with me, Georgia doesn't look like they belong on the same field. Now, I know it tightened up. That's always going to happen with a Kirby Smart coach team with adjustments. But that was not a fluke. I mean, last year was a little bit fluky, but Ty Simpson was just unreal, Heisman-esque. And what we all joked about 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, maybe ULM and Wisconsin were the preview. Those were not outliers. Mm. That was an Alabama team that did not look like it did against Florida State. Alabama would crush Florida State right now.
How about this, Dalton, this stat? And you may be aware of this, Paul. Kalen DeBoer against Kirby – Sark, and who's the other big one?
Kiffin, or who is it?
No, there's one more. Anyway, he's 7-0 against them.
Wow.
Kalen DeBoer against Kirby and Sark and maybe one other. So when he wants to get the big win, Paul, he's more than capable.
He really is. You can't sugarcoat his issues. I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory, but all you can really do is look at what he's accomplished. I'm probably more impressed with him bringing this team back after Florida State than anything on the contrary to what he hasn't accomplished. And it takes a great deal to have that bad of an opener and have everyone, from me on down or me on up, taking shots and then just simply saying, you know what, we're going to figure this out. And they did.
It's Lanning. Lanning.
Oh, okay.
And when he was out at Oregon and Washington, Lanning and
Lanning,
and
Sark, and Kirby.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, right.
7-0.
Wow. That's impressive. Paul, turning to another game, I believe it was the wise Vols fan, Morgan Wallen, who once said, the boys still lose unless they're playing at home. And Tennessee on the road, I mean, he wasn't joking in that song. They do lose when they play on the road, or at least traditionally that's how it's been in big games. And Mississippi State, of course, they've had massive troubles these last couple of years. Heupel, after the game, said good road win against a good road team, or a good team. Tennessee needed that, but that came down to the wire against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, that was really a tough and very close call. And it looked like Mississippi State was going to win that game. For all the things Tennessee did wrong at the end of the Georgia game, they were able to do right. And just think about where that program would be today if they had lost that game. They're still alive. I think they're still a really good team. I know it's easy to praise Mississippi State, but because that program has come so far back. But let's not forget Tennessee. I mean, that was a remarkable win on the road.
Mm-hmm. And as far as Joey Aguilar, and he's not really being mentioned much among the Heisman contenders, even though he has the most passing yards in the SEC. My main worry with him going into the season was the turnovers from that last season at App State. But this weekend, the turnovers looked like they should have been caught, and they ended up going the other way. Aguilar, he can carry this team pretty far, but it seems like his floor could be pretty low too.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have to beat somebody significant to get back in the Heisman race, but that's in front of him. He's got Alabama in about 3 weeks, in case anybody hasn't noticed.
Hey, I've got a Heisman name for you, and he was second string when the season began. His name is Trinidad Chambliss. Ole Miss putting your buddy Brian Kelly in another bad mood on a Monday.
Brian Kelly told me Monday, he said, I'm really angry. I said, well, what do you, he said, I'm angry at myself. I'm like, well, this is going to be, I feel like I was a psychiatrist doing self-analysis. I don't really want to hear a coach angry after the game. I want to hear a coach angry before the game. Have you, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they're struggling, and I don't know. I'm not quite sure. They've got the defense straightened out. Now the offense is in the tank. And do you make of LSU? Good, Dalton. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, Paul, you know, after the game, Kelly mentioned Nussmeier. He said Nussmeier has to play better, but they're not able to run the ball either. They had 57 yards in that game rushing.
Yeah.
No. By the way, none of us should be surprised by the way LSU played. They ended up beating Clemson and Florida, which neither has – I think they combined have six losses between them.
True.
So, you're right. Let's go back to when Brian Kelly was asked a couple weeks ago about his lack of running game, and he blew up at the reporter. Looked like that reporter was pretty smart.
As it turns out now, yeah.
And to just this last game, to recap last week, Hugh Freeze's offense looking like it did last year, and 176 yards of offense, 0 for 12 on third down. Jackson Arnold's been sacked 14 times in the last two games, and A&M didn't look amazing, but they beat Auburn 16-10, and Hugh Freeze having to answer for that offense again.
Yeah, that's in many ways the biggest story in the state right now is what's happening at Auburn and can it be fixed? And I don't think it can. You are what your quarterback says you are, and Auburn's got the worst quarterback in the SEC right now.
Mm. Well, that might be 2 years in a row or close to it, and it's a different guy. So this is one they handpicked. That's even a higher indictment, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I think it's actually 3 years in a row, but who's counting? this was Hugh Freeze's guy. He went out and spent the money in the portal and disregarded what happened at Oklahoma, and it's a problem. And you know, it's also a bigger problem, guys, when your offensive line cannot block. Yeah. I mean, it's been a disaster.
Yeah,
sure has. Looking forward to tomorrow, and not as many big games on the schedule, but you can't say that in Tuscaloosa because they have a revenge game in mind. And normally this would be a flat spot for the Tide after Georgia. And
they can't afford to be flat.
They can't. Number 16 Vanderbilt coming to town. Diego Pavia. I saw Johnny Money Manziel saying he's going to be wearing a Pavia jersey on the Vandy sideline. There's a guy who gave the Tide some issues back in the day. What do you make of this game coming up?
I'm going to try not to sound exactly like I did a year ago when I told you this is not going to be close and Alabama is going to roll. But I have learned from my mistakes. I will not make that campaign promise. But but ultimately, I really don't. I don't see it being that close. I know what everybody's saying, but to me, this is a different Alabama team. They're not letting up. They learned, and it's so it, to me, it's the easiest game to repair that Kalen DeBoer has had. He said, "Listen, we screwed up last year. We're not doing that again." And I think it helped the game day and all the attention on the game is not going to allow that to happen.
You know, Kentucky's at Georgia this year, and I've been trying to school Dalton on the history of these teams. Kentucky often plays Georgia very, very tough. I've got no problem with the Georgia Bulldogs. They're young. They've got some holes, but they've got. I think they play hard. I think they're a pretty good team. I mean, I'm okay with Georgia not dominating football and just representing themselves well. And I think they generally do.
I think they are potentially a really good team. And I was with Kirby Smart Friday on our show, and he said I'm really excited by this defense. Now, what do you mean by that as a coach? You've got young guys, they're developing, they're getting better. And if you look at the second half of that game, if Kirby Smart hadn't screwed up, Georgia very likely would have won the game.
Yeah,
tied the game.
They came close.
So, I mean, the defense was excellent in the second half. I think you take something from that. Alabama was a better team, but Georgia's biggest game of the year won't be against Kentucky. I think it very well could be at Auburn next week because – that's going to be a must game, a must win for both teams. And it will be far more difficult for Georgia to go on the road, especially to Jordan-Hare, as inept as Auburn has been, than it will be Saturday morning against Kentucky.
Agree.
Yeah, and we'll see if that week off for Auburn helps them against Georgia or if it just gave Hugh Freeze another week to screw him up further, I guess.
make golf plans.
I thought I saw him late Sunday in the Ryder Cup. Maybe I was missing something. I don't know.
You know, we might have performed better. No, maybe not. U.S. Ryder Cup team did have that strong comeback. At the beginning of the year, Texas-Florida, that had the potential to be a top-five matchup. Obviously, Florida hasn't performed to the ceiling they could have. A lot of people asking if Arch is ready for some road SEC play. Remember, he had that Ohio State game at the beginning of the year. But what do you make of number 9 Texas hitting the road to Gainesville? And how important is this win for Billy, or this game for Billy Napier?
Well, I think everything right now is a referendum on Billy Napier. This would, by my account, be, I think, the fourth straight loss. So when that starts to happen, your AD starts to look up and see how Arkansas handled Sam Pittman, because Billy Napier's firing couldn't be very far away.
Do you think Arch starts to figure it out, or are you giving him a longer leash than a lot of the fans who expected him to come out and play like Eli or Peyton?
I'm going to stay with Arch. I'm no longer saying he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, but Saturday will be a great chance for him with four or five games under his belt to look good, and I expect him to do so.
Well, it's Friday, Paul, but this is not the first time that you've been mentioned on the station this week. Thank you for colliding with other sources and other parts of our programming, including the news. Best of luck this weekend. I guess you're in Tuscaloosa, huh?
No, actually, we have to go to Gainesville. They decided to get me out of the state of Alabama for a couple of days.
Probably a great political move for your own safety, Paul.
Paul, we appreciate your time once again, and looking forward to talking next week.
Always, guys. Thank you very much.
Paul Finebaum.
Yeah.
Football Fridays with Finebaum, presented by Bryant Bank. And, he's been the center of the discussion in so many ways this week.
He has been, and he's wearing it well, wouldn't you say? Wearing it with humor, even though it's a very big decision for him. And it seems like it's real. I don't know. Yeah. It seems like he was handpicked, or at least to consider by some of the most important people politically in the U.S. and in the state of Alabama. That's a heavy thing to wear.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, he seems to be wearing it just fine.
I know, he does.
Maybe we'll talk about that more.
Maybe he can have us on it as pages if we have ratings woes at FM Talk.
How are you at getting coffee for people? I don't know.
Pay me, right? I'm really good.
Paul Finebaum, Football Fridays presented by Bryant Bank. Once again, thank you so much to the team at Bryant Bank for helping to make this happen. And, looking forward to some football tomorrow. How are you feeling, Bama fans? Let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106. I don't ask this often. Give us a score. Yeah. Are they going to run it up against Vanderbilt, or are they in for a tough fight? More Mobile Mornings on the way with Dana Dalton.
That's our song right there. It's the Dan and Dalton.
Yeah. That's why I wear spurs and
chaps
and cowboy hat.
He's got a cow in the studio.
And that's how you know our show's on. Thanks again, Drew Fabianich, talking with him earlier this week. Talk about a tough job figuring out, which it used to just be the seniors, which juniors and seniors deserve a trip to Mobile at the end of the year, because there are some really fantastic players out there and some that just kind of pop up on the scene.
Yeah.
Especially with these portal things going on. And you guy you don't know about, he ends up being in the Heisman race all of a sudden.
What, Tony Romo, was he in the Senior Bowl years ago? He was like Eastern Illinois or something like that.
Was he Northern Illinois?
Even a lesser known Illinois.
Might lesser known direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, everybody knows the East as well as they know the North, but we're talking about the schools. Eastern Illinois is like a division down.
Mm.
So,
They'll
find them.
And great with Fabianich, great with Paul as well, who's in Gainesville for the games this weekend. All right, let's get into these upcoming games and let folks know who we are picking. And I will say, I haven't changed any picks since we have been doing this.
Yep.
What I say I do on the air is what I've kept. But I'm starting to get a little antsy now that I'm actually in the mix. Mm. So I may change one or two. I don't think I will, just for the purity of this program. I think I'll try to keep it the way it is.
Yeah, this program's not that pure. Do whatever you want to do.
All right, well, game you know a lot about. You talk to me about Kentucky year in and year out when they're getting ready to face your Georgia Bulldogs. And it seems to always come after a big game for Georgia. Maybe that's not always the case.
Yeah, no, that might be part of it too. But anyway, Georgia's favored by 20.5,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go Big Blue to cover. They just they play Georgia tougher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia's, you know, I'm not sure what Georgia's. Like, when I saw that they were ranked 12th this week,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe that's about maybe where I would put them, considering that they're young and the quarterback play is here and there. And not that Stockton's had a bad game, but they ran it very well against Alabama, but they didn't have the complete game. They dropped a touchdown pass that could have turned that game around. Anyway, I'm going to go with Kentucky to cover.
All right, well, I'm taking your boys here. Okay. I'm going with Georgia. I just like the makeup of that quarterback. And, of course, the coach, I think he's got his head on straight, and he'll have the team's head on straight. So I'm going to take Georgia to cover that 20.5-point spread. This one's tough for me because my brother went to the Air Force Academy, walked on for the team,
yep.
quit because he was worried about head injuries and wanting to be a pilot. So he started boxing, which makes perfect sense. So, but he was a walk-on for a time. I've become a big Air Force fan since then. You've got the big Service Academy game here. Navy is at home, and they're favored by 11.5 over Air Force. Navy, by the way, 4-0. Air Force 1-3 so far this year.
So, first of all, here's what I learned about your brother. He must have been a fantastic letter that he got from a congressman or something like that to get in, because he's not that bright.
Yes, right,
so
sure.
Now I'm going to go with Navy to cover, because I saw Air Force got whacked by somebody earlier this year that – it was a team what we highlighted last week.
It was North Texas that whacked
them. Yeah, North Texas.
49-30, yeah.
From the Sun Belt, so I'm going to go with Navy to win.
And also falling to Hawaii. Hawaii winning a road game.
Did they really?
Yeah. And that's too much for me. I hate to do it. I'm taking Navy to cover the 11.5 points. But those Service Academy games, they run the same offense, although Air Force is trying to air it out a little bit more, it seems. Anyway, I'm going with Navy. This is a tough one, and maybe you don't think it's so tough, but a revenge game for Alabama. They're back in T-Town, and they're favored by 10.5 points over the red-hot Vanderbilt Commodores.
I went back and forth on this one, but I finally settled on Bama giving up 10.5, and I'm going to go with Vandy to cover. Vandy, you know, last year they frustrated Alabama because they had the ball so much of that game. They're the same offense. They're the same players. They can do the same thing all over again if they're able to execute.
Mm-hmm.
To this point of the season, Vanderbilt's look really good. So I think they'll sneak in that 10.5.
You went with Vandy.
Vandy, yeah.
Well, I'm going to blow your mind right here, mm-hmm. all right? I'm taking Vanderbilt to win.
Whoa! You don't even have to do that.
I know.
All right.
I don't know why I would say that.
Well, because you're like your brother, not all there.
So I'm going to watch this, and I think, you know, I am the commissioner of the league. If Vanderbilt wins outright, I think we can just call it. I think that's mine, right? So right. Vanderbilt's red hot. Pavia, you don't mess with destiny.
Mm.
They're destined to be in the college football playoff.
Johnny Manziel in a Pavia shirt on the mm-hmm. sideline?
Yep. And who knows if Pavia goes down,
here Manziel comes Johnny.
Sneaking right out there onto the field. All right, Texas.
Who's that guy running around in circles out there?
Texas is on the road. First road SEC game of the year. Arch Manning, will he figure it out? They're favored by 6.5 points over the Florida Gators, who have had a really rough start to the year.
All right, so Florida snaps out of whatever they've been in. Their defense has played pretty well all year anyway. Arch Manning has not been tough to solve to this point. I'm going to go Florida.
I'm going to take Texas, and I think it's because, you know, Texas has a defense.
Yeah.
Really good defense. Florida's offense has been putrid.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they turn it around. Giving me Texas with less than a touchdown, even though it's in the swamp, yeah, I'm taking Texas. Troy and South battle for the belt. This time it is in Troy, Alabama. Night game Saturday night. I went with the Jags as 2.5-point dogs. I know people are going to be looking at that record. I still think they have a team. I think they're really hungry right now for a win.
I'm going to win, too. I mean, just really out of devotion to the University of South Alabama. But I'm hoping that they win, and I'm going with South to at least cover.
All right, let me figure this out. Out of devotion to South, you're picking them. But for your team, Georgia. Oh, okay, never mind. Texas Tech favored by 11.5 points against Houston, and this is at Houston.
Yeah, well, you know, my Uncle Randy went to Texas Tech. So out of devotion to my Uncle Randy, I'm going to go with Texas Tech to go into Houston and cover.
I am too, and I did less research on this game than the rest of them. But I'll go with the line I've been saying all year. Texas Tech paid more for players this offseason than anyone
else. You pay more,
you win more. You win more, especially the later it gets into the season. I'm on Texas Tech Texas A&M is at home. They beat Auburn last week by 6. Mississippi State is the road team, and they are 14.5-point dogs after taking Tennessee to overtime.
Yeah, so I'm going with Mississippi State. Mm. Not exactly sure why. Probably a mistake. But A&M, they beat Auburn last week, but it's not like they dominated necessarily. Their defense was very good, but their offense, this is the same team that scored 40 in South Bend. Anyway, it's confusing.
Yes.
I'll go with Mississippi State to keep it close.
I'm on Mississippi State. I think Lebby's getting them figured out. It's a terrible spot after playing Tennessee to overtime. They thought they had their first SEC win in 2 years. But I think it's a pride thing for them, and I think they're going to come out motivated even after that tough loss. I'm taking Mississippi State, and again, I don't need to do this. There's a chance they pull out the outright upset.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to look like a real idiot on Sunday, aren't I?
Yeah, you're getting there.
I think Miami's coming towards the end of their in-state tour, and they're playing at Florida State in Tallahassee this week. The Hurricanes, 4.5-point favorites after Florida State inexplicably loses on Friday night to Virginia.
Well, wait a second now. Are you sure they're there? Are they at Tallahassee?
I'm seeing, unless it's a neutral game, Run Your Pool has Miami as the away team and Florida State as the home team.
Okay. Well, maybe that explains why it's only a 4.5-point spread. I was thinking it was in Miami, but anyway, I'll go with Miami to cover.
The contrarian and probably smart move would be to take Florida State here, but I'm taking Miami. I mean, that defense, I think they'll be able – the problem with Alabama, right, was they weren't getting much push on Castellanos at all. They were out of their lanes. I'm taking Miami. I think Reuben Bain in that defensive line going to put Castellanos in a box. Kansas, away team, they just lost a tight one last week, and they're 4.5-point favorites over UCF.
They've got to go down to Orlando to play UCF. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those conferences that it's just like Cincinnati's in it and UCF and – what does it mean?
Yeah.
It's the Big 12. Used to mean something. I'll go with Kansas. Very well-coached team. Solid team. Not a great team, but good enough to win and certainly cover the 4.5 on the road.
And it was Cincinnati that Kansas just lost to. Everyone loves that Jaden Daniels for Kansas, and I do too, which means he could completely...
Oh, yeah. That was the game where they just piled up all the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going with UCF, home team, Kansas traveling. Yeah, give me UCF as 4.5-point home dogs. And then to wrap it up here, Ohio State, number one ranked team in the nation. They've got several really difficult, well, relatively difficult games coming up in their conference, but they're playing at Minnesota this week, and the Buckeyes are 23.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm going to just go with a hunch here. Haven't done a lot of research on this one. Ohio State, in years past, they would beat Minnesota by 23 routinely. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Ohio State to win that game by more than 24.
Yeah, you look at Minnesota's record, 3-1, but they lost at Cal.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Rutgers, Northwestern State, Buffalo. Give me Ohio State to cover that big number, and then they'll start worrying about the rest of their schedule because I think Illinois is coming up, Wisconsin, Penn State. It gets a little tougher for them going forward. I think they'll be focused this weekend, though.
And who's the coach of Minnesota? Fleck, is it?
Is P.J. Fleck still there?
P.J. Fleck, I think, is still there. And one of my favorite podcasts to watch is that of Ohio State.
Yeah, Menace to
Sports. He thinks Fleck's really a real screwball. So I'm gonna. So that's all I know about P.J. Fleck is that Menace thinks he's a screwball, so I'll go with Ohio State.
Row your boats. Row them on home.
Yeah.
All right, those are our picks. Let us know what you think. 251-343-0106. Maybe we'll find those and talk about them on Monday morning after this big football weekend. Dan, I hope you have a good time. I hope you're able to sleep some during that game between Kentucky and Georgia. Because the last 2 weeks, it's been too much.
Here's the main thing. I don't want to sleep tonight when I'm doing St. Paul's and Gulf Shores. That's the real discipline I've got to have, getting up at 4 in the morning.
All right. We'll talk to you guys Monday morning on Mobile Mornings, and next week, if you're a listener to this show, Friday night it airs on FM Talk 106.5. The podcast pops up before that. Have a good one.